Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right, you guys, I'm excited about this week's topic, and I'm excited to jump in with my featured guest, Jacqueline. I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a moment, but this is a topic that comes up all the time, whether you are pregnant or postpartum, and that is, how do I feed my baby? Should I choose to breastfeed when it comes to after I've given birth and done all my wonderful things that way? So with that, I want to introduce Jacqueline, who is, well, I'll just let you introduce yourself and all your credentials and all of your professionalism and amazingness, and she's also a mom, of course. So Jacqueline, will you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, so I'm Jacqueline Kinser, and I'm the founder of Holistic Lactation, and I started this company a little over 6 years ago now. I actually started it, well, I had plans to start it before my second child was born, so she's six now. Officially opened it up when she was 4 months old, so that's kind of cool. I got into this work really because of my son, who's now nine. I was a stockbroker, and I got pregnant. I had a baby, and that changed my entire life. So I really found, I think, the hardest part of new mothering was breastfeeding for me, and I kept searching for answers and all of the things. So anyway, pursued this as a passion and got started. So I've been doing private practice ever since I started. That's really how this began. And then I've moved on to, I've had office spaces, I've worked with dentists treating ties. I do virtual consults now. I have a team of lactation consultants. So it's really grown over the years. I host a podcast too, and just had Stephanie on the show, the Breastfeeding Talk podcast. So that's really fun. And then last year, actually launched a line of herbal supplements for breastfeeding moms. So really trying to do all of the things that I felt like have been missing in the world of breastfeeding and showing up and serving moms in whatever way I can.
I love that. And I'm excited you're here because I know you're going to be a wealth of information to the moms that are listening. So if you could just kind of start off with, what is a lactation consultant? I want to know a little bit more about that. And I know moms will be curious too. And I know that there's like the IBCLC versus the LC. So if you want to talk to that a little bit, I'd love to hear.
So an IBCLC is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. That is the highest credential in the land when it comes to lactation. And it is really the only thing that should ever be called a lactation consultant. An LC should really be an IBCLC. I know that term is used really informally, and so it doesn't always mean what it should mean. So there are other certifications, which are not the same as a credential. So you can have certified lactation counselors, certified lactation educators, certified breastfeeding specialists. All of those people have a certificate where they've taken a course, usually anywhere from 45 to 60 some hours, and they take a written exam at the end. So this is something you can typically get in the course of a couple of weeks. It does not make you a clinician. It does not make you a healthcare provider. And so to the lay person, it's really important to understand that difference. It's not because I want to sit here and say, oh, look at me, I'm better than everyone else. No, the pathway to becoming a lactation consultant takes years. It takes a certified, board exam that we have to pass. There's supervised clinical hours. There's a lot more education and hours involved. So it truly is a healthcare credential. So we are able to be in network with insurance companies, all of that fun stuff. Whereas any of the other ones that you might see out there, there's absolutely a time and place and a role, but their scope of practice is not really a practice, right? They can't offer hands-on treating, or they should not be doing that. And so they're not able to diagnose or assess or any of that. They can sort of just counsel you and educate you in the normal course of breastfeeding, talk about things that are red flags, and then they should be referring you to a lactation consultant. So that's my long-winded way of saying that. And lactation consultants have different roles, right? Some of us will work in the hospital system and will come visit you postpartum. Some of us will work in private practice. I would say more often than not, that's typically what the bulk of the profession is. And so we can work with babies of all ages. Sometimes there's home visits, virtual visits, in-office visits. Sometimes we work with OBs in their offices or pediatricians in their offices, or we have our own. So there's a number of different circumstances where you might find a lactation consultant locally in a community. And then because we are an international profession, we're really all over the world. So that's really cool. Some countries have more access than others, but it's a standardized education and board certification no matter what country you live in.
I love that. Yeah, kind of my big thing and when people have said they've received help, especially like in the hospital postpartum, and well, I saw a lactation consultant, and it's true. Some of them can be IBCLCs in all the sense of the word with all the credentials and everything. And then some are just, and I don't mean to say that in a rude way, but just lactation consultants where they've only had a certain amount of training and moms have received not great info. They're like, well, I met with a lactation consultant and I still have this problem. And I'm like, yes, but did you happen to meet with an IBCLC? Because they're the yes. ones that are like, they're all about boobs. Like if you are looking for, you know, help with breastfeeding, like those are, that's who you go to. So I consider you guys, and I'm sure that you do too, just because that's the way it is, like gold standard. This is if you have an issue with breastfeeding, period. And it's not even just breastfeeding. Sometimes you don't realize that it's a breastfeeding issue. It has to do with like sleep or the colicky or they're spitting up or, you know, and it all can relate back to that. I'm always like, talk to the breastfeeding lady first, the IBCLC first, even before the pediatrician on a lot of the things. Like, yes, you should involve both, but there are a lot of things that an IBCLC has, you know, credentials for that, like even the pediatricians, like it's the same thing. Like a lot of them don't even have the lactation counselor, the 40 to 60 hours, you know, they took an 8-hour workshop one day. And so there's gaps. And so, yes, this is why I'm excited to have Jacqueline here. Will you speak to just a moment what exactly you do with moms, like moms who don't know what to expect?
Yes. I think there are so many misconceptions about this, and it's really the reason why most moms don't seek care is because they don't think that we're able to offer them anything other than what they can Google. And that's always interesting to me because very often I've heard moms say that that has been their experience with even an IBCLC. So I want to be really clear that just like any profession out there, you will have people who are highly qualified and skilled, and you will have people that are not. And unfortunately, it's upon you to do that due diligence. And it just is the way it is. So if I'm looking for somebody to come and, you know, clear a clog in one of my drains in my home, I have to do my due diligence to make sure that that plumber is highly skilled and qualified for what I need them for. Yeah. And so it's just kind of the same thing, right? Like there's bad doctors or good doctors. It's all the same. The way that we do things, the way that I do things, is that I always begin by upfront, before I even work with you, you fill this out ahead of time, a really thorough intake form. Not so long that it's cumbersome and you can't get it done with your baby around and stuff like that, but the basics. I need to know your full medical history, anything from psychiatric things, your birth, your pregnancy, if there's, you know, any chronic health conditions going on, because potentially those things can affect breastfeeding, supplements you're taking, medications you're taking. All of that is important. And so you're filling all of that out. You're also giving me your birth and pregnancy history and your baby's history up until this point. So were they in the NICU? You know, what kind of birth was it? All of these things matter, and they're going to inform my decision making. So before I meet with every client that I work with, I have access to that form and any other communication they've sent me along the way. If it's photos, videos, sometimes just, you know, text messages and things that they're sharing, like, hey, just a heads up, here's everything that's been going on up until this point. I review all of that and I have a pretty good idea of what I'm getting into and where we need to go during the appointment before I meet with you. So that way, when I meet with you, I'm just filling in a few kind of blanks that came up for me, questions from all the information I saw ahead of time. And then it just kind of depends on your baby and where the appointment flows next. I know everybody wants to know, like, what is the sequence of events that I will get when I work with you? And I'm like, depends. It is not cookie cutter. It is not one size fits all. If your baby is screaming their head off and clearly hungry, I'm not going to have any time to ask you questions. We're going to feed that baby and get right into the assessment piece, right? If your baby is asleep, we have lots more time to chat. Maybe we work on pumping first, if that's a thing, or maybe we review some other stuff and then we wake the baby up and feed them. So anyway, at some point, obviously, I'm assessing feeding, whether that's bottle, breast, however you're feeding your baby. And what I initially do is I just go, show me what you normally do. Just what would you do, you know, if I wasn't here? That's what I want to see. Don't put on your best effort for me, because if you're not always doing that, it's not helpful. And then typically I can see immediately where the deficiencies are, where the problems are, what can we do to correct things? So I have you do your thing and then I start to intervene. Like, hey, you know what? I see that this is happening. And I'm always kind of walking everybody through step by step and explaining what I'm seeing. I don't keep it a secret and just tell you at the end of the appointment. So, hey, I'd like to try this and this is why. And so I guide you to do that either through explanation and visuals, or if I happen to be working with someone in person, you know, sometimes it's hands-on. It just sort of depends on your comfort level. And I really want you to feel confident as the mom in what you're doing. So I am not that lactation consultant, and I have never been, that will shove your baby on the boob for you. I think that takes away your agency. It destroys your confidence and your self-efficacy. Like, you are going to be feeding this baby once I leave, however many times a day, 8, 10, 12, I don't know. I'm not going to be here to assist you with every single latch. So I've got to feel confident that when I leave you and stop providing that care in that moment, that you can do this on your own. So that's where we get, is really just, it's an exchange. You asking questions, clarifying things, me explaining, telling you what I'm observing. And then through those interventions, whatever adjustments they are to the latch, to the type of bottle you're using, to the flange size you're using on the pump, whatever it is that we need to address, I'm seeing, did that work? Was that effective or not? So like a really good example would be like someone who's been only feeding their baby with a nipple shield, let's say. Okay, they really want to feed that baby without a nipple shield. Well, I've got to explore first and foremost, what are the reasons why you use the nipple shield to begin with? Was it the baby couldn't latch or breastfeeding was too painful? Because it's usually one or the other. Okay, breastfeeding was too painful. So potentially the baby can latch at the bare breast. It just doesn't feel good for you. Let's see if the baby can latch at the bare breast. Great, they can. Okay, it still hurts you. Now that the baby can latch at the bare breast, we can work on the latch itself and see if we can achieve a pain-free latch. If you're doing all the right things and I'm doing all the right things and the latch is still painful, my next step is maybe there's some oral ties going on. So I'm going to do a functional assessment of that. We do all the interventions. We still can't get a better latch. Let's take a look in the mouth. Let's assess the structure. Let's see what kind of mobility we have. Oh, there we go. Clearly a lip and a tongue tie. Great. I still want you to practice good latching. I want you to do some appropriate nipple care, but I'm going to refer you to, you know, getting this treated, right? So that's just like an example of where an appointment can go. So it's very, very clinical, but at the same time in the background, I'm always checking on you visually and kind of checking in emotionally and even verbally and going, is this okay? Like, are you okay with this? Is this helpful to you? Is this where you want to go? Is this part of the goal that you want to achieve? Because some moms will say, you know what? I just can't do this. I'd rather just exclusively pump. Just help me do that. Okay, great. Like, let's work on that. It's never about my agenda. It's always completely about what your goals are, because that's what's most important. And oftentimes I've had moms where they go, yeah, I just want to exclusively pump. I just don't want to deal with this, because they're just, you know, overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
We go that route. And then once things are going well, they're like, well, you know, it'd be kind of nice to nurse at least a couple times a day. Maybe we could work on that. And so, you know, we just have to get you that point of stability and confidence where you feel like you can tackle other things. So yeah, it's really, really varied. I hope that paints a decent picture of how things might go when you work with someone like me.
I think probably my favorite thing that just came out of all of that for me, as a breastfeeding mom, but also as somebody who I can confidently refer people to another IBCLC, is the personalized care. And, you know, what I do in talking to women about pregnancy and birth and all this is like your provider, and you need to be on the same page, and it should be somebody who personalizes your care. And I love that. Even as you're talking about, like, there's no, it's not just that it's not cookie cutter. It's what feels right to you. What's your mother's intuition telling you? What do you need right now? And it's okay if something else would work, and maybe it'd be somebody else's better, but it's not yours right now. Like, it's okay to decide for yourself what's going to work and that you can support as an IBCLC, a mother being able to do what's right for her. So I greatly appreciate you sharing that. I think it's huge for women. And I have to share too, even after my sister gave birth, I mean, she might even hear this episode, but I remember trying to help her with breastfeeding, and I totally did. I was like, well, if you're comfortable, yes, I can help with, like, I will squish your boob into the baby's mouth, you know? But the way that you describe that is like taking away somebody's agency and kind of that power. In that moment, I'm like, I hope I did not do that. And like, as I'm standing right here, I'm like, I'm not going to do that again. I think that's really important that you shared that. And that's something that I see really often with lactation consultants, especially in the hospital. It happened for me as well. And they're like, help, you know, it feels like they're helping you. But I remember them leaving and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to repeat that. Like, I can't do that again.
Totally.
So I think that's so huge that you bring it up that way. So for women who are listening, like, there's always space to learn. I just learned something right now. Like, it was said in such a clear, direct way that I don't think I will ever try to support a woman in that particular way again. So anyways, I just think that's really important that you brought that up. I loved that so much.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I felt the exact same way as you just mentioned after birth and seeing a lactation consultant in the hospital. Like, I will never be able to do this again. That's not what we want. I do not. Right. My goal is to decrease your reliance on me and feel like you can do this yourself. I would say the other thing is, like, absolutely, if someone's asking for me to do it for them, for sure. Yes. I will. If you're a hands-on learner, that's your style. Okay, great. Yeah. But I will say that one of the things that a lot of people ask, how can I get the help I need on a virtual appointment? Don't I have to have it be in person? Mm. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I actually see, not that outcomes weren't good in person, but I would say I see a quicker resolution of issues doing telehealth only, to be honest with you, because it is really that self-efficacy. Visually, verbally, I'm explaining things. We're exchanging a lot of, you know, videos and text-based messages and, you know, hopping on that live video together. You've got to figure it out on your own. You have to emulate what we're doing in your own way, right? So I think that's like a really, really important skill. And it makes me so proud to see moms who you just give them the tools and they take it and run with it. That's what we want for you.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for all of the moms, I feel like, that are listening and like you haven't nursed a baby before, it can be overwhelming and you can need a lot of support. I feel like one of the best things that came out of 2020 and everybody being stuck at home was how we got good at virtual support in so many areas of medical and stuff like this. But I think just the other side of that too is when you have that next baby, at least for myself, this was my experience with subsequent babies, and maybe you have an easy latcher with the first and you have some issues with the second. So that's not, you know, I'm not blanket stating that for everybody, but I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so rough. And it just wasn't. And I was like, oh, I've done this before. Like, there we go, you know? And then we could have dealt with if we had some other issues along the way. But like, yeah, you do find your groove. And like, even when it's really hard in the beginning with all the nursing sessions and all the things that can come up, you do find your groove as a mom. And so yes, I want to pass on that strength to moms that like you will, it'll be okay. there is a good place that you will find in breastfeeding.
Totally.
But with that, do you want to speak to some of like common worries or struggles that moms have, particularly these first time, these new moms with breastfeeding?
Yes. I would say, you know, I don't know if I can totally rank them because they're all so common. One is the baby's latch, whether it's a baby being even able to latch, or then having that good latch, and how do they know what a good latch is? I think that's one of the most difficult things, especially for a first time mom, to really know. You can look at photos and videos all day long, but that's not quite enough. My favorite That's sarcasm, by the way. It's not my favorite. It's when I get pictures from people like on Instagram and they go, is this a good latch? And I'm like, first of all, I don't DM healthcare advice. Second of all, that photo tells me nothing. It's a still photograph. I don't know what's happening while the baby is suckling. I can't get your feedback on what that feels like. I can't listen to their swallows. Like, there's a lot that goes into that, right? So one of my jobs is to teach moms how to know if things are going well or not, right? Like, wow, your baby has a great latch. They're transferring tons of milk. Do you hear those swallows? And the moms will be like, no. I'm like, listen, here's that sound. You hear the little kuh, kuh. Like, okay, that's every time you hear that, that's a swallow. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea he was getting anything. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, how do you think he has like 12 diapers a day? But but if you don't know, you don't know, right?
Right.
And that's the other part that kind of leads into, is my baby getting enough milk? Am I making enough? Those are actually two different problems. And so it can be very confusing when, you know, you don't know what it should feel like when milk is coming out of your breasts, what it should look and experience and sound like when your baby is actually drinking that milk. Yes, of course, pumping and putting it into a bottle and measuring it, you have some knowledge there of my baby's definitely getting enough. When you're feeding your baby at the breast, it's kind of a process of trust. It's a leap of faith. And some people have too much faith and don't realize that their baby isn't getting enough. So it's, you know, it's hard to learn to trust yourself. And I don't think that that's automatic. I don't think it should be. I think you should be really well set up with some education around, how do I know that breastfeeding is going well? How do I know when it's not going well? And so, yeah, I think milk supply is a huge concern. I think the latch is a huge concern. The other thing that's gotten popularized, thankfully, is tongue ties, you know, tongue tie, lip tie. A lot of people are concerned, is my baby going to have one? Oftentimes I get, you know, more photos of that and, you know, is this a lip tie? And I'm like, that's not how we assess for ties, by the way. Because we look at the structure of the frenum, which is the tissue that can be a tie, but it's also how elastic is that tissue? What range of motion does that allow the muscles and bone and everything that's attached to that frenulum? How does that then impact actual feeding, right? So all of those things we have to look at. And it takes someone who's really, really skilled and knowledgeable to do that. It's not typically something you as a parent can assess for yourself. That's a bit like trying to figure out, does my child have a heart defect? Sure, maybe you could have the imaging done on the heart, but do you know how to interpret that imaging, right? So it's not a parents are dumb and they shouldn't be self-diagnosing. That's not it at all. But it's like there's a lot to it. And if you don't know what to look for, it can be really, really hard to figure out what the true issue is. And then on the flip side of that, when it's your own child, it's really hard. I know I mentioned starting my practice when my daughter was 4 months old. I had a heck of a time breastfeeding her. She had a lip tie, tongue tie, buckle ties, and I was in denial. So I fully believed that because I had an abundant milk supply, that my daughter was fine. She was perfect. I had planned the perfect birth, the perfect home birth, the perfect postpartum. There could not be possibly anything wrong with my child. And it wasn't until I saw a senior colleague of mine who was like, yeah, your baby's tied like to the wazoo. Like you, this is why she's colicky. This is why you keep going to the chiropractor and not getting results. This is why, you know, and the chiropractor was like, yeah, I knew she was tied. I just knew you weren't ready to hear it. I was like, oh shoot. You know, like I was too close to it. So, don't ever fault yourself, I guess is what I would say. And if you're really like in the, if you find yourself, you're like Googling, you know, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, like, just stop. You're creating like a horrible cycle of anxiety and self-doubt. Just like go find someone you trust and ask them, because you can just get in your own head about it. I think those are the biggest issues that I see.
Yeah, I think you nailed probably all of the ones that immediately come up, even in our private Facebook group, postpartum. I've also seen, like you were talking about, in moms groups or birth on birth forums, and like tons of pictures of like, does my baby have a tie? And I'm like, stop. Like, I can't go in and like say that on everyone, but I'm like, you guys can't help self-diagnose. I've also seen, which you kind of mentioned in the beginning, and I think this is huge. I like want people to hear it, so I want to say it here. I have seen women that even go to dentists the dentists that do the revisions and saying, is my baby, do they have a tongue or lip tie or, you know, some issue that you can fix? That's not the person to necessarily diagnose it, because I have heard of dentists that do this regularly for patients and it's not necessary. And then you can cause other issues. So I just want to say here, like, seeing a very skilled IBCLC that can diagnose and that works with providers that they trust to send babies to different dentists and stuff, I think is really important too. So it's just making sure you're like on the right line of defense with the correct professionals in the right order, I think is like really important.
It is. And if I could speak to that for just a moment, a colleague of mine, Dr. Zink, he's a dentist in Boise, Idaho. I actually had him on my podcast. And then Kate, who's on my team, works with him in person, which is really cool. So it's like, it's come full circle. We're all one big happy family. That's but awesome. He did a reel the other day. It was his first reel ever, I think. And it was about like the order of who you should see. And IBCLC was number one. He's like, don't see me first. And the reason for that is just like any other thing, like, unless like you, I'm trying to give an analogy here. Okay. So like, maybe I'll use myself. Okay. So I have a spine injury, from a car accident that I was in. It wasn't like I got admitted to the ER and they were like, yes, we should absolutely do surgery on you. No, they gave me pain pills. They sent me home. They referred me to an injury doctor who referred me to PT, who referred me for epidural injections. And I took all of these less invasive forms of intervention to see if that was enough, because it's a big deal to do surgery, right? Especially a spine surgery. Yeah. But just like for our babies, maybe tongue tie procedures and tie releases are not as serious of a surgery as that, but they're still a procedure and they're on an infant, right? A very vulnerable human being that the last thing we want to do is cause them pain. So right. If you think that going to get a surgery for your baby is going to just flip that switch and improve breastfeeding, you're sorely misinformed and you're going to be very disappointed, even if your baby is actually tied. And you go and get those ties released. If you've never learned to optimize breastfeeding, you've never mastered a particular latch technique that could potentially resolve things or at least make things better, it's like you're just skipping this whole process. You're neglecting the idea of, you know, going to physical therapy, right? And you're just thinking a surgery is going to fix it. No, surgery is going to create more pain for your baby, some inflammation. You're going to see a backslide in their performance when it comes to breastfeeding for those initial days that they're going through that healing process. And you're going to think to yourself, oh my goodness, what did I do? Right? There might be some instant relief that comes with that, especially in severely tied babies. But if you don't do all the other work around that to optimize the thing that you wanted to get the ties released to begin with, breastfeeding, typically, then you're just not going to get the full result. So please, please don't just jump into seeing a dentist or an ENT or someone who's just promising to fix everything by cutting a little piece of tissue. That's not how it works. Very, very rarely have I ever seen some sort of instant sustained result by going and doing that. So that's my little soapbox. I just had to say that.
No, I'm so glad you did. I think it's huge. It's the same thing with birth. It's, you know, you don't want to just jump to that craziest conclusion. Like, what are the other things going? I think I talk about it all the time with labor. It's like, why are we talking induction just because you hit 39 weeks? Isn't there like an order of operations? Like, we haven't even talked Bishop's score or how you feel about being induced or anyway. So I think order of operations is huge. Actually, as I'm thinking about that, because we're creating our postpartum course, like everything in me is like, we need to have an order of operations. I absolutely love what you were talking about there. And it kind of leads into the next question of like, we're giving moms some really great ideas. I think, what are your top tips or what do you think moms need to know during birth prior to giving birth to their babies about breastfeeding and how to make it successful?
Good question. I think that you need to go into it with either no expectations or very open expectations. And so what I mean by that is I actually posted a reel about this about an hour ago, but how breastfeeding, you know, moms will say, well, breastfeeding's natural, so like it'll come naturally, right? No, very rarely does it. So the part of breastfeeding that's natural is lactation. So when the placenta is birthed, your progesterone levels drop. That allows prolactin levels to rise, which allows you to produce copious amounts of breast milk. That's the only thing that's sort of inherently like biological that's going to happen. What's not inherent is your baby latching, you holding your baby well, you being able to know what good breastfeeding looks like. Those things are learned behaviors. We are meant to learn those in a society amongst people, right? We don't have the village anymore. So that's why breastfeeding fails, is because we don't have this elder wisdom. We don't surround ourselves with other maternal family members who are able to guide us and get us off to the right start. And then add on top of that, like maybe you had a difficult birth. Maybe you have some complications, health or pregnancy wise or postpartum. And so those are breastfeeding disruptors. The point that I want to make is that none of those things ever mean that you can't breastfeed. Like just because something goes wrong doesn't mean that you can't breastfeed. And even if there are true obstacles that just you can't make enough milk no matter what you do, or you can't get X, Y, and Z to happen, you've done all the right things. Breastfeeding isn't all or nothing. You know, to me, exclusive pumping is also breastfeeding. You're providing breast milk to your child. You know, combo feeding with formula for whatever reason and providing breast milk, that's still breastfeeding. So it doesn't have to be this all or nothing. And I'm not saying that you should come into this expecting it to be like the hardest thing you've ever done, but for a lot of women, it is. So just be realistic. Like, hey, I might encounter some problems. The more I arm myself with knowledge, the better I'm going to feel about, you know, creating some situations where I can improve these things, or at least know how to recognize when I do need some additional help. Hey, everything might go great, and that'll be a huge relief, right? So I just wouldn't go blindly into it and go, yeah, my body will just figure this out. We hope, right? Like that's, it's kind of like going into birth and thinking, yeah, birth will just happen, right?
Yeah.
Well, yes, the baby will come out, your uterus will make contractions, but like how well that goes depends on a lot of other factors.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's really it. I think also just, you know, knowing how to get breastfeeding off to a great start. Like the sooner that you can have that immediate skin to skin contact with your baby, the easier you make things for you and your baby, no matter what the birth was like, right? So there's this hormonal dance and feedback loop that's happening. The smell of your baby ignites certain hormones to release. That helps that very first milk flow. If you can get your baby to the breast sometime within the first 80 minutes after birth, that's incredible. But again, if not, not all is lost. So, yeah. You know, just trying to do those things, you know, babies breastfeed early and often, meaning like there's this idea of, you know, can my baby breastfeed too much? The answer is no. No, that you should expect, quite honestly, that your baby will be attached to your body almost 24/7. And that's, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, it's misery, whatever. Yes, you can go to the bathroom and eat and take a nap and do all these things. But a newborn, really, they have one job, and it's solely instinctual and reflexive for them, is to be near you. They were just inside your body for 9 months, 10 months, however long, 7 months, who knows, right? They don't want to be suddenly separated from you. This is the fourth trimester. They're supposed to be there. Their job is to get your milk to come in. If they're not skin to skin with you, if you're not smelling them, if you're not holding them, if they're not at the breast, stimulating the breast, your odds of getting a full milk supply or getting a good latch or all of those things are greatly diminished. So those are like really, really important foundational things.
Yeah, no, that's really great information. Thank you. I think too that I hope that kind of leads into what you have to offer for women, because I want you to speak to a little bit about what you do. You have your podcast and stuff, but you also have a course and membership and a support community. Will you talk a little bit about how women can find support through you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple great places to start, which is one, my Instagram account. So that's just at Holistic Lactation, you know, posting pretty much daily over there and lots of past posts to scroll through, just on all kinds of topics. And really, my mission is to be really empowering and understanding of people. Like, I get that breastfeeding is hard. I get that making it work in a modern world is very difficult. I am not that lactation consultant that's like, exclusive breastfeeding or bust. Like, no, I think that like, that's just not realistic. Honestly, I'm in awe that moms who are able to exclusively breastfeed, like that they're able to do that, because I think there's so much stacked against us that it's incredible. Like whenever a mom has a, you know, medication free birth that goes exactly how she had wanted, to me, that's like an incredible feat, because again, the odds are not in your favor, right? So, right. And then I've got the podcast. So there's weekly episodes, all kinds of different topics. I always encourage people, there are no particular order. So just go back and find one that resonates with you. But beyond that, like if that's enough to help you, Great. I'm so glad, because then breastfeeding is probably going pretty well for you. If you're experiencing challenges, though, that's when you kind of want to kick it up a notch, as I like to say. So we have the Nurture Collective, which is an online community. You can just, it's monthly, and it's me, it's Kate. And, you know, we might grow that team if we need to as we get more members, but we're both IBCLCs and we support our members in there. So inside the Nurture Collective, there's also an entire course. And I don't like to promote the course that much because I don't think people are super interested in courses per se. It kind of feels like a lot of work. But the way we've done it is we've broken it down into these little bite-sized pieces. So it's based on stage of breastfeeding or problem. So if you're pregnant, there's like a whole section for how to prepare during pregnancy. There's a whole section on newborns, but then we break it down from the first few days, the first 2 weeks, weeks 3 to 4. And like, so we're staging everything out. So if you join the Nurture Collective and you're like, I have a 3-month-old, great, go to that section, review all of that content. And then if you're like, oh, I have mastitis, great, go to the mastitis section. Like, it's very easy to just sort of pick and choose your own adventure. Our goal is we do not want you to complete the whole course. If you do, that's because you're a type A personality, but like you shouldn't need all of it, if that makes sense, right? Yeah. It's there when you need it. And then we've got our forum, right, where you can post. We host live weekly chats. We have guest experts come in and share about, you know, all things related to breastfeeding and postpartum and motherhood. So it's an incredible community. And then if you're truly like, you know what, I have some serious problems, or I just want one-on-one help, you know, we're here doing the virtual appointments, Kate, Gina, and myself, and we do those with anybody all over the world.
I love that. And how do the Nurture Collective, is that thenurturecollective.com, or do you have a website for that?
You're close. It's thenurturecollective.co because awesome. .com was taken. I don't know who has it. and so depending on which day someone listens to this episode, it'll be thenurturecollective.co or that same URL /subscribe. And that's how you can sign up. So it's always open. You can always join. But if anybody has questions, they can reach out to me.
That's awesome. And for those that are listening, I'll have all the links for this in the show notes, and you guys will see Jacqueline on your weekly email when this comes out as well. If you don't mind, can we end with kind of, I just was curious, what's the number one thing that you want moms that are starting their breastfeeding journey to know? Like, if you could say just one thing, your best tip, trick, advice that you'd want them to know, what would that be?
Trust yourself. You know more than you think you know. Like, there is an innate wisdom by virtue of you becoming a mother, and that builds and grows throughout your pregnancy. It's like a maelstrom during birth, and you are the right mom for this baby, and you don't even know it. Like, I would say that's the biggest thing, is like, trust yourself. Stop looking at all of the books. Stop looking at, like, one of the biggest things that, it's funny because I like just talked about the Nurture Collective, but one of the things that we do in there is whenever somebody asks a question and you can just tell, like, you know, what's going through their mind, right? It's never one question. It's like a series of like six. and I go, I can just tell them, like, but you already know the answer to this. You're just looking for validation, or you're kind of like, maybe I'm wrong, so someone needs to prove me wrong. Right. And I'm like, but you know the answer to this. Like, why, what's leading you to ask this question? Are you really worried about this, or is it this? And so there's a lot of counseling that sort of happens on our part, which is we're trying to just redirect you to your own inner wisdom. That's really what we're trying to do. And it's not that we don't have answers. Of course, absolutely, we have answers, but it's like, but you know, right? Like, deep down, there's something in you that you know. And I think that is not an overnight thing. You're not going to master it in your first year of becoming a mom. I have a 9 and 6-year-old and I'm still learning this, right? So, but just know, like, you really are just freaking smart and wise, and you should trust yourself a heck of a lot more.
I love that. That is advice I could give the same way when I'm talking about birth. And something that I didn't trust, like, I think for myself, like, I feel like I'm not someone who naturally trusts my intuition, or like I even know what my intuition is. But it's like you said, it's that like pregnancy and motherhood and like you're being born too, and breastfeeding and postpartum, all of that. Like, yes, you have a lot more intuition than you realize. And we all deserve an opportunity to trust it. So I love that. Jacqueline, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your excellent advice for everybody listening. I really appreciate your time here. I hope people will connect with you afterwards. And you're amazing. I'm really grateful for the work that you do. So thanks for being here.
Aw, thanks so much, Stephanie. And yeah, anybody can connect. Instagram's the best way to get in touch if you want to send a message or anything. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.